The Lord meets us here. He will meet you this morning in ways in which you won't even understand. And we don't need to understand. We just need to receive it because it's grace in real time.
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Four Square Church. It's Sunday, June 1st, 2025. Pastor Zonia is speaking. Today's message is entitled, The Four Dimensions of the Lord's Supper. And our text comes to us from Luke chapter 22, verses 14 through 20. And now here's Pastor Zoni.
This is Communion Sunday. And we're dealing with the scriptures in Luke chapter 22, verse 14 through 20. So now you need to go into your Bible because there's nothing to be projecting. And you need to look it up. So how many brought your Bibles to church? Some of you did, yeah. And those of you who did not bring a Bible, acquire one because we'll need it for next Sunday because I think I'm going to outlaw the scriptures in the, you need to come, whatever. But bringing your Bible to church, it's and reading the Bible, oh, on the phone, okay. So you look guilty, you felt guilt, so okay. But if you can bring it in your iPhone, that's perfectly fine, but bring God's word with you. And we'll read it from there. So it's Luke chapter 22, verses 14 through 20. And we're doing, remembering the Lord's table. Actually, it's the table of the King, King Jesus. So let me begin by reading Luke 22, verse 14 through 20. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. And he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. 17, after taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and said to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, and this is verse 20, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. May God bless the reading of his word. Four things I need to mention today before we do take communion. And I like to address the concept of remembering, receiving, becoming, and hoping. The text says, do this in remembrance of me. It's an amazing story. We often quote 1 Corinthians when we take communion, but those were the words of Jesus himself. Do this in remembrance of me. And when you look at the remembrance, you see that Jesus redefined all the symbols of the Jewish Passover to center in his own self-giving love. He transforms the bread and the wine, ordinary elements, brothers and sisters, into sacred signs of his body and blood. I want you to know that the sacred signs around you are really ordinary signs. The Lord is everywhere in our lives. He's with us in our suffering. He's with us in joy. He's even with us in the so-called neutral moments of life, like you say nothing's happening. But no, he transformed the bread, he transformed the wine into sacred signs of his body and his blood. Memory, brothers and sisters, is a spiritual life. It's spiritual life for you and for me. It's not nostalgia. It's not feeling sorry for yourself. But when you go to the Lord's table, it means that you're participating in what is known as eternal reality. For it is Christ that's saying this. To remember Jesus is to dwell in his history. Not just to think about it. So may I ask a question to you? Do you have a history with the Lord? Do you remember him working in your life? Do you remember him active in your heart? Do you remember him? Not just to think about it, but dwell in the history, the story of the Lord in your life. So when you and I come to the Lord's table this morning, we don't necessarily come as spectators of a horrific story, a historical tragedy, but we come together today, this morning, as participants of a story that redeemed us, that caused our lives to change. A story of grace, a story of Christ giving of himself, a story that flows to you and to me. And I want you to know that your story with the Lord is what we need to remember and is what is forming us. Stories form us and they reform us. Stories. The story with the Lord, remembering the Lord in our lives. So, what story about Jesus is reshaping you this morning? What is the moment that you remember about the Lord working in your life? What are you remembering about his power and his grace and his love? What do you remember about the Lord? Because what you remember about the Lord is what's shaping you. Have stories with the Lord. Develop that moment when you remember him as he worked in your life and as you gave of himself to him. Remember? Remember. Remember the Lord. Because, again, remembering the story of Jesus in our life is what shapes us. At the table this morning, we will remember the story that saved us. Remember when you were lost? Now you're found. Remember the issues you were dealing with? The Lord's redeemed you. Remember the question marks? He's given you peace. Remembering God's activity in your life is huge in the life of the Christian. For you and I have a history with the Lord that needs to be remembered, needs to be reacted again, needs to be processed again. The Lord we serve is a great God, and he's proven it because he has a history in our lives. How many have a history with the Lord this morning? He's done a work in your life. So the first thing I need you to remember is that the table is a place of sacred memory. The Lord, in a sacred way, reached down and touched you, saved you, strengthened you, and promoted you with great blessings in your life. The second thing about the Lord's table is that it's a place of living presence. And, you know, the 1 Corinthians 10, 16 through 17 says, it's not the cup a participation of the blood of Christ, and the bread a participation in the body of Christ. We actually have the presence of the Lord in a very unique way. You know, in the ancient world, to eat with someone was to be one with them. I'm sure you've seen some of the movies, you know, that you go to a house and maybe in the Middle East, you see moving and they offer you food and hospitality and how important all of that is. And I want you to know that having a meal with the Lord is being one with the Lord. Having communion is being one with the Lord. And when you take communion, when you receive communion, it's a table of trust, a table of union, a table of belonging. Even Judas was included. I often wonder how much of us really understand what goes on when we take communion on Sunday. Sometimes I even wonder myself. But I think one thing for sure, when I take the bread and when I drink the cup, is the Lord who wants to be close to me. God does not desire to be distant from you. He doesn't want you on a corner somewhere. It's God with us. God with you. In spite. For me, it's so wonderful to know that Jesus had 12 apostles and one of them was Judas. Sight of relief. He wasn't looking for perfection. He would be perfecting us. His sacrifice would perfect us. He wasn't looking for special qualities. Good grief. You know that his disciples were called at a time when disciples were not called. Disciples were called at a young age, and all the men that followed Jesus were mature men, past the training time. Jesus called them, and he wanted to be with them. And the disciples were with them. And when we take communion, this is a table of trust, a table of union, a table of belonging, and everybody is included. You're included. I'm included. It's the living presence of God in your life and in my life. God desires not to be distant, but with us. So when we take communion, as we will this morning, it's not symbolic alone. Did you know that communion in many ways is a discipline? It is an act by which we draw nearer to God. It's a way to experience the real presence of Christ, where we push ourselves towards that. I know people. Okay, what do we mean by I know people? I know people that avoid Sunday mornings on the first of the month because they don't want to take communion. And some of you are nodding, and you know what I'm talking about. Well, no, I don't want to go there because then I'm going to have to, you know, I'm not right. And Judas wasn't right, but he still was there. It gives you a place of accountability. It gives you a place of serving God in spite of all of the issues that you contemplate today would prevent you. He says, no, it's an open table. Come. God will take care of those things in your life and in my life because his real presence changes our attitude. But when you avoid the Lord, you avoid the table of the Lord, wow, you're cheating yourself out of God's presence. The presence of God, that sacred moment we talked about, the sacredness of that moment and the real presence of Christ. So the table is not just what happened then. The table is what happens now. To avoid the table, to walk away from the table, to be negligent of this discipline of coming before the Lord in the way we do as a community is a really tragedy because the Lord meets us here. He will meet you this morning in ways in which you won't even understand. And we don't need to understand. We just need to receive it because it's grace in real time. Let's say it together. Grace in real time is nourishment to your soul. Is the Lord speaking to your heart and saying, it's okay. I love you. It's okay. I forgive you. It's okay. So we eat and we drink and we receive grace in real time. So we approach the table in faith, of course, not because you and I are perfect, but because, and here is a kick, because you're hungry for his presence in your life. How many are hungry for the Lord's presence? So communion is that. There's a historical link. Do this in remembrance of me. Hungry for the presence of God in our lives. Well, this leads me to the third reason why we take communion. The table is a place of formation. When you take communion, it's a process of God dealing with you. In John 6:53 says, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man, you have no life in you. What it really means is that you have to allow the Lord to work in your life. You can't refuse God and expect God to do a work in your life. There has to be this disposition of the heart. May I go back and say this hunger for his presence. And sometimes, you know, we are way off base. But he's still, there's still something in the back of you, this white noise. This is I want God in my life. This movement that says, God is the one that I need. And this is when we come to him and his presence will begin to transform us because Jesus will wash your feet. Jesus will wash the feet of those who betray him. He will wash the feet of those who deny him. He will wash the feet of those who abandon him. Nothing should keep you away from the Lord's table. There is nothing you have done that the Lord cannot bring healing to. There's nothing you have done that puts you out of the reach of his love and grace. Nothing. His love, Jesus' love, God's love today, as it was then, is not conditioned by your worthiness. The best you can produce is filthy rags of unrighteousness. You can't. At the table, you see God's love in action in your life. And isn't this what we've been talking about from the pulpit for years here? That the goal of the Christian life is not just forgiveness, but transformation? And the table, the Lord's table, is just one way in which God trains our soul. And he does so, I think, in three ways. In humility, because you're not that big after all, are you? In humility. In love, because he accepts you. He loves you. And surrender. He surrendered his life. He gave his life for you and for me. We come to him and we experience humility and love and surrender. I want to take communion now. Just because of that, I would never want to miss the moment when the church gathers together to share the Lord's table because of this place of formation. So the table humbles the proud and lifts the broken. Because at the table, not only do we receive pardon, but the character of Christ. We become more like Christ. We become what we desire to be, closer to God, living and walking as Christ would. So we're shaped, brothers and sisters, week after week into his image, in spite of the phone ringing right now. We're shaped week after week into his image. The Lord works and puts it in our heart. And so we are formed in his presence. So you and I will come this morning to communion not as someone who has arrived, but we come to the communion table as one being made new and renewed. You know, the bread breaks. We break the bread. What needs to be broken in you this morning? What are the areas that are stubborn and needs to be broken? What needs to be broken? And the wine, the fruit of the wine, addresses what needs to be healed. Yesterday in one of our classes, we were talking about where will you be here 2 years from now to the students? And where is the Lord leading you in ministry? And one of the questions they have to answer is, 2 years from now, what areas of your life will be healed? And I'm asking you that question. What needs to be healed in your heart? Where is the pain? Where is the anguish? What are the difficulties? What is preventing you from moving on? Why are you holding back? Why don't you allow the Lord to heal? When you take the cup this morning, the bread, those things that need to be broken, and the cup, what needs to be healed. One more thing. We mentioned the importance of transformation, of formation, and and the brokenness that needs to be in our lives, the formation that takes place. But look, there's one more, and that's hope. Because the table is also a place of future joy. In Matthew 26, 29, he says, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day. Jesus looked past the cross. He looked past the cross. For him, the table was not a funeral, but it was a promise. So when we come to the table, you and I don't only need to have a backward look, but we need to look forward and gaze into what will be for sure and for certain. The Lord's table was not a funeral. It was not. And you and I need to participate of God's presence right now. You and I need to get a hold of that promise and live in the presence of Jesus with a future gaze. You know, all of this will culminate, as the scripture says, in the Feast of the Lamb, when all things are going to become new, when everything is new, and we long for that moment. But between now and then, we can live in what is known as interactive relationship with God. We can have a conversation with God. We can go on living with the presence of God in our lives with that hope, that moment where we will be in the presence, that everything else in the world will be forgotten, and we will have a brand new earth and a brand new world and a brand everything new. So communion today is important, because communion today is not just looking at the back and what happened so many years ago, but it anchors us in present grace and lifts our heart in expectation that though things can be difficult and rough, one day we will dine with the Lord face to face. So you and I live as people of hope. And at the table this morning, we're reminded that this world is not the end of the story. It's not the end of the story. It's not the end of your story. It is not. The end of the story is in the Feast of the Lamb, when all things are made new, and we will live in eternity forever and ever. But eternity is running right now, like I said last week. Returning eternity, we don't have to die to be in eternity. Eternity is going on right now. And you need to jump into the railroad of eternity and say, I'm living for God now. Amen. And I have a relationship with the Lord now. And in my job, in my day job, my night job, in my family, with my children, with my grandchildren, I'm living eternity with them, and I'm telling them about Jesus' precious purposes. I conclude, and we'll have communion. At the table this morning, we have the crucified Christ, but also the risen King. And at communion, that's where you and I will have to have memory. Memory that becomes transformation. The table is a place of presence that becomes formation. Brokenness is beauty, and awaiting becomes joy. We need to have this type of attitude and this type of posture. As you and I become disciples and followers of Christ, and we do it with our conscience, with our senses, with our spirit, we become partakers of his divine nature. We live a different type of life. The life of Christ is at hand right now, and you can right now live a different type of life. a life that is anchored in God. Communion started as a dark upper room, but it became the greatest light the world has ever seen. And you may be going through issues in life, but when you come to the Lord's table, there will be a transformation, for the Lord is there to meet you. Are you ready to meet the Lord? Amen. Are you ready to say, yes, Lord, here I am? Because that's the object of communion this morning and every morning in Jesus' name. Let me pray with you. Lord, I pray that you will prepare our hearts this morning in a special way, that we will be able to approach the table knowing that you are working in our lives beyond our imagination, and that there's nothing that's stopping us or detaining us except our own will. Our own will, which we will submit to you right now, to love you, Lord, to do that which is right before you, to seek you, Lord, in spite of the issues that we're going through. We thank you that this table is not denied to us. We thank you that we don't need to qualify in a special way to reach your table, but that it is open to all of us without any conditions. Lord, we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the day
that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it.
And you said it without reading it. That's wonderful. Say it again.
This is the day.
Un poquito más y somos católicos. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you peace. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, we be with you all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Greet one another in the love of the Lord.
We're so glad you're able to join us today. If you would like to watch the full service with the worship time included, you can check out our Facebook page. For more information about our church, go to our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.